Father, we praise you. We thank you for all that you're doing, for the wonderful offering, Lord, for our global work there in Mexico. And Lord, bless the people who have given this morning into that. And Lord, this morning, I just thank you for helping me to teach your word as you open the hearts of everyone that's listening here in the overflow area, those that are listening live right now as well, all over America and different parts of the world. Lord, we thank you for them. We thank you that they've tuned in to be with us this morning, feel a part of this work here that, Lord, that you've raised up. We lift up especially this morning for Ed, Lord, just continue to touch his body, bring healing. For Ron, Lord, and Wynette Arms, just touching them and giving them strength in all that they're doing, Lord. And we pray over the Harvest Festival that is just such a wonderful outreach, oh God, perfect weather, and just that we love people. We pray that this horrible Ebola epidemic, this whatever it is, be wiped out and completely removed from our society and, Lord, our nation and the other nations as well. So, Lord, help me now. We love you. We bless you. In Jesus' name, and the church says, amen. Let's turn to Luke's Gospel, chapter 11 this morning. Luke's Gospel, chapter 11, there in the New Testament. We're going through the book of Luke. What a wonderful journey it is. We're on the road with Jesus, of course, going to Jerusalem to die for the sins of the world. And let's begin this morning in verse 14. Luke's Gospel, chapter 11, verse 14. Please listen as I read. And Jesus was casting out a demon, and it was mute. And so it was, when the demon had gone out, that the mute spake, and the multitudes marveled. But some of them said, well, he cast out demons by Beelzebub, the ruler of demons, and others, testing Jesus, sought from him a sign from heaven. But he, knowing their thoughts, said to them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and a house divided against itself falls. And if Satan also is divided against himself, how will his kingdom stand? Because you say I cast out demons by Beelzebub. And if I cast out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your sons cast them out? Well, therefore they will be your judges. But if I cast out demons with the finger of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. And when a strong man enters, a strong man fully armed guards his own palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he comes upon him and overcomes him, he takes from him all his armor in which he trusted, divides his spoils. He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters. And when an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places seeking rest, and finding none, he says, I'll return to my house from which I came. And when he comes, he finds it swept and put in order. And then he goes and takes with himself seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. This morning, I want to talk to you about something very, very important. And what I don't want you to do is think that I don't love you, because I do love you. But this is a very important part of the Gospel of Luke in the Word of God. Amen? And what we want to do is always be open to grow in Scripture. Always. So this morning, I want you to prepare your hearts. I want you to prepare yourself right this minute. You're going to be made to feel uncomfortable. Hello? Come on, say amen. Did you know that the Holy Spirit makes us feel comfortable? But did you know sometimes the Holy Spirit makes us feel very uncomfortable? Because he's helping us. We're learning things. And this morning you're going to hear some things that you might not like, but I want you to listen to them, because it's vital that you do. And I know that many in the congregation, you know, you don't feel well. You say, Bill, I need to hear something that's going to pull me up, and I need something that's going to meet the needs of my marriage or my family or my job. And you know what? The Lord knows each of your needs, and he's not going to neglect you. But we teach through the Bible at Calvary Chapel, and we just happen to be in a section that is vitally important to us. Did you notice that there was talking about the demonic? You know, Luke's gospel talks about the demonic, oh, the devil, demons, unclean spirits, and so forth, Satan. He, over 39 times, I believe it is, in the Gospel of Luke. So we're in that section right now that really is talking about the demonic world. And I think it's very fitting this morning as we talk about the kingdom of the devil, that isn't it interesting that, you know, just in not too long, people are going to be celebrating Halloween. Now, Halloween has nothing to do with my message, so don't, I mean, if you've carved your pumpkin, you know, get over it. It's going to be okay. And everything, you know, the Lord will deal with you later. You know, since it is Halloween, if you really want to hear something spooky, creepy, here it is. Ready? Americans this year will spend $6.9 billion on Halloween. Think about it. That's $7 billion. Could we use that? Hello? I look at that. You know, I started to go boo, but I didn't. But, you know, I mean, every morning I love to walk outside. That's one of those special times. Matter of fact, I walked yesterday morning and last night as well. It gives me, I'm alone and I love to be out in nature and so forth. And that's when I do most of my praying. And, I get up very early in the morning. It's still dark. There's no one out there, you know, and I put the little flashlight on my head, you know, No, the reason I walk in the dark is because I don't want to see anybody. They don't want to see me moving. You know what I'm saying? I'm moving when I'm out there, and I've got all these great moves, and I don't want to, you know. But when I walk through the neighborhood, I mean, it's like, hello. I mean, you talk about Halloween. I'm out here praying, and all of a sudden I pass here. There's a witch over here, you know, and a goblin over there. I went to one yard yesterday morning, and it's totally in the dark. You understand? And there are tombstones. They have lights on them, you know. It's like a graveyard on the street that I walk on, you know, and then what was really frightening, all of a sudden I ran up this huge demonic figure and it had Democrat on it. I don't know what that means. No, I'm just teasing. I'm teasing. You know that I didn't mean that. So, no, don't, you see, I'm trying to prepare you to be uncomfortable. You know, the joy of the Lord is your strength. So merry heart doeth good like a medicine because you're getting ready to get slapped. Now, I want to talk to you this morning about the peace you don't want. The peace you don't want. Please listen carefully, beginning in verse 14. And Jesus was casting out a demon, and it was mute. In other words, the demon caused this person to be unable to speak. So it was that when the demon had gone out, or Jesus had cast out that demon, it says the mute spoke, and the multitudes, they marveled. Now, we know what demons are. They're Satan's ageless, unseen, wicked, fallen angels. We're not told the how or the why this person, whether it's male, female, why they were possessed. We don't know. But you would think that whenever someone has been delivered from the bondage of darkness, from the power of Satan, you think everyone would not just marvel, you think that they would be rejoicing. Amen? Well, unfortunately, verse 15 and 16 tell us another story. Let's look at it. It says, but some of them said. Now, Matthew says some of them refers to the Pharisees. Luke doesn't tell us that. So it says some of them said, well, Jesus, look at he cast out demons by the power, if you will, of Beelzebub, the ruler of demons. Now, Beelzebub, we know from 2 Kings chapter 1, I believe it is, verses 1 through 3, that the Beelzebub was literally the Philistine god Baal that they worshipped. Beelzebub, there's a play on word there. It can mean the Lord of the flies or the Lord of the dung, okay? That's the truth there. So, but I say, well, flies are always attracted to dead things, so the Lord of the flies will work. And so, you know, the devil is always buzzing around people, trying to manipulate, trying to deceive. Amen? We know those things. And so, but these words here are horrible. You know, look what these people are saying. The religious leaders and the people, whoever they were, they're saying, they're calling a work of God. A work of the devil. Isn't that unbelievable? That's like when you hear someone say, you know, a denomination might say something like, well, you have the Holy Spirit? Yes, but I had the upper room experience. You mean you had an upper room experience and you spoke in other tongues or something? Yes. And they'll go, well, you know what? You're of the devil. Don't ever attribute anything from God from the devil. You hear me? Ever. Don't ever, ever do that. That is wrong. That's blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, by the way. Now, we look at this, and here are the others. The others, look what they did. They tested Jesus. In other words, they weren't sincere. And that word sought there, you could really read it like this. It's others testing him, demanded from him a sign from heaven. Now, we know next week when we get into it, there in verse 29 through 32, Jesus will give them the sign, the only sign that he's going to give them. But they demanded a sign. Okay, are you from heaven? Are you from hell? Where did you get this power? And so forth. Here's what I've learned about religion. Religion, which doesn't have a relationship, a living relationship, religion always wants more proof. Show me, show me, show me if it really is true. Listen, I don't know how many more signs and wonders Jesus needed to do in front of the children of Israel there in his own country. I mean, he raised the dead. He healed the leper. He fed the thousands. Amen. But yet, right standing in front of them was the greatest sign in all of the world. Jesus the Messiah was right in their midst, but they missed it. They didn't connect with it. Think about that. Jesus right there, Emmanuel, God with them, with us, and they didn't get it. You see, they were religious on the outside, and they were empty on the inside. They could have said something like this, the religious rulers or even the people. They could have said, you know what, I'm a Jew. I know my tribe. You know what I mean? I'm a priest or whatnot. I'm in covenant with God. We have the holy word of God. And they were religious, just like people are religious today. Did you know that religiousness, if that's a word, being religious, doesn't ever change? It's always the same. I go to the right church. I have the right Bible. Sing the right songs. Sit in the right chair. Sometimes I even quote the right Bible that I have. Other times I don't do it at all. Listen. That doesn't matter. What matters is, does Jesus Christ truly live in your heart? That's all that matters. May I say that that is the most important thing in the world. There's not anything more important than Jesus living in your heart and that you're born from above and have your names written in the Lamb's Book of Life. There's nothing more important than that. Nothing. I don't care. I have $7 billion. So what? I gained the whole world. So what? What would a man give for his own soul? Man, listen, God loves us so much he gave his son. And I say, oh Lord, I don't want to be deceived. You know, the Bible says John 1:10, it says, and he was in the world was made through him, but the world didn't know him. But he came to his own and his own received him not. But as many as received him, he gave them the power, he gave them the authority, he gave them the right to become sons of God, those who believe on his name. Amen. That's who we are. We believe on the name of Jesus. But look at verse 17 now. I'm talking about a peace you don't want to have. It says, but he, Jesus, knowing their thoughts, he said to them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. In other words, if you have a kingdom and the kingdom is having a war within, is it going to stand? No. Same thing with a family or a house. A house, a family divided against itself, it's going to fall. It's not going to stand. And if Satan is divided against himself, in other words, at war with himself, how will his kingdom stand? Because you say, I cast out demons by Beelzebub. Now listen very carefully. From those scriptures, that scripture that we just read, would you say that Jesus believed that there is a real devil? Yes, but there's something else. Did Jesus say that he had a kingdom? Look what it said. How will his what? Kingdom stand. Listen, Satan has a real kingdom, and it is right here on this earth. Are you listening to me? Satan doesn't want his kingdom to decrease. He wants his kingdom to increase, doesn't he? The Bible says in John 12:31, Jesus called Satan. He said, he's the ruler of this world. He said the same thing in John 14:30. In 2 Corinthians 4:4, Paul said he is the God, little g, the God of this age. And then in 1 John 5:19, it says that the whole world, the world system that is Antichrist, the whole world lies in the sway, the arms, the cradle, if you will, of the wicked one. The oldest strategy in the world is to divide and conquer. If you divide a family, they're going to be conquered. You divide a kingdom, an army, they're going to fall apart. Jesus said, listen, man, Satan is not at war with himself, because Satan would never empower anyone to undermine his work. That's illogical, isn't it? In other words, Satan would never free a man under his control. You want me to tell you why? Because Satan has no goodness. Satan has no mercy. Satan has no love. He's the most wicked entity in all of the universe. So Jesus continues and said, well, in verse 19, if I cast out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore, they're going to be your judges. He's saying, listen, are you going to go to them and say, you know, the Jewish exorcist and say, hey, you know, your power is not from God. Your power is from the devil. No, you're not going to do that. It's not true. But if I cast out demons with the finger of God, the power of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. Or as literally, Jesus is saying, I am here and the kingdom of God is now present. Boy, praise God for that. But there was also another kingdom that was present, and that is the kingdom of the devil. Now look at verse 21. When a strong man, fully armed, guards his palace, his goods are in what? Peace. That's one of the most incredible verses in our text. The strong man is the devil. We're not talking about the Lord Jesus now. Jesus is stronger than the devil. Amen. He's the King of Kings. But look at that carefully now. The strong man is the devil. And that tells us this. Jesus just said he is strong. Don't ever underestimate. You know what scares me sometimes is I see people, you know, I'm binding this devil here and commanding this devil here and all those things. And I'm going, well, you're spitting and all everything, man. And just, you're wild. But you don't even know what justification is. You don't even know what sanctification is. You don't even know the Word of God. You got to be careful what you're doing in that supernatural realm. Did you know that? Yes, we have power over the wicked one. I'm not saying we don't, but we have power because we're in Christ. Jesus just said he's strong. And not only is he strong, look at it. He says he's fully armed. He is fully armed, not halfway armed. He is fully armed. He's loose on this planet. And not only that, he guards his own palace. What is his palace? It's the world here, the world that we live in. And not only that, his goods, let me just clarify, what would his goods be? Money? No. No, what? People. His goods are in what? Peace. We'll talk about that in a minute. So the devil is fully armed. We know what he's come to do. He goes to and fro seeking whom he may devour. He wants to eat people up alive. He wants to ruin people's life. That's his desire, is always to bring people down because he's going down to hell himself. He's armed with one of the most horrible things that exist in the world, more dangerous and more horrible than the Ebola virus. And it's called sin. He was a sinner from the beginning. Do you follow me? His existence, he loves sin. He traffics in sin. He produces sin. He loves it with all of his heart. That's his whole existence is wrapped up in that. And listen, he has never, ever since he fell from heaven, he has never, ever ceased to sin. But he has another thing that he's armed with that's so dangerous today. Christians fall into the rut of it all the time. And that is this. Satan is a liar. And not only is he a liar, he lies about other people. He's the accuser of the brethren. I believe Christians should be very careful today. They go on Facebook or they say all these things and they're completely untrue. I just had someone say something about me on Facebook, a barefaced total lie that was proven to be a lie. Yet, did you know that the Calvary Chapel Association, they contacted me over that. And it was a Christian who lied. Proven untrue. Isn't that amazing? Do you think that came from Jesus Christ? You think that came from the Holy Spirit of God? No, I'll tell you where it came from. It came from the pit of hell. It came from people that are unified with the devil. That's what it comes. You know, I say, oh God, we're living in a strange, strange time. So we look at all this and say, oh God, he's not only armed with sin, deception, he's armed with lies. He is so good at lying. He's so good at causing other people to lie. He's so good at causing people to gossip. John 8:44 says this about his lies. He says, Jesus said, you're the father of the devil. Talking about religious people. He says, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning, there in the garden with Adam and Eve. And he says, and he does not stand in the truth. He used to before he fell from heaven, but not now. Because there is no truth in him. Now listen carefully. When the devil, when he speaks a lie, he speaks of from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. He is the father of all lies, all falsehood in the world. Every lie that is ever told owes its existence to the wicked one. He is a liar. His influence is evident throughout the entire world. He is literally the prince of evil. But look at verse 22. I love that word, but. Means there's somebody better, somebody stronger. He says, oh, but when a stronger, and there's no one stronger than the strong Son of God. When one stronger, it says, then he comes upon him. In other words, comes into his territory, comes into his palace, comes into his goods. And overcomes him and takes from him all his armor in which he trusted and divides his spoil. What's Jesus saying? Jesus said, you know what? I came from heaven. I came into his world, meaning the world that we live in. I was born into this world. I entered into the devil's house. I took away his goods. Remember when he led captivity captive? Absolutely. And gave gifts unto men from Ephesians. Listen. Only Jesus and no one else can set a person free from the evil one. No one else. There's not any religion. No one on earth. Only Jesus can do that. The Bible says in Acts 10:38 how God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and or with power, the Holy Spirit and with power, and who went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. It says in Colossians 2:15 what Jesus did on the cross. It says that he, having disarmed principalities and powers, that's the devil, all the demons, all the fallen angels, he made a public spectacle of them. He exposed them like in a public parade and just was marching them down the street. And then it goes on to say, in it meaning the cross, when Christ died. Demons are real, and they are really defeated. And we need to know that. I always say, you hear me say often, a Christian always fights from a point of victory because we're in the victor. The devil always fights from a point of defeat because he is the defeated one. And Christ has already won all of this for you and for me. The Bible says in 1 John 3:8, it says, he who sins is of the devil, meaning having that lifestyle of sin. It says, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. Now listen carefully. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested. What purpose? Here it is. That he might destroy, render inoperative the works of the devil. What are the works of the devil? He's real. What are his works? Well, we know that they're the exact opposite of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Jesus said in John 10:10, I have come that you might have life and that more abundant and life more abundantly. Then he tells us what the devil came to do, exactly the opposite. But the thief, the devil, he comes to steal. He wants to steal your life. He comes to kill. He wants to kill you. He comes to destroy. That's what he loves to do. That's how he gains his satisfaction. He's here. He lives. He wants to tempt you. He wants to deceive you. He wants to ruin a person's life. He wants to ruin a person's home life or the place where he works. He wants to steal your mind and fill it with lies. He wants you preoccupied with the things of the world, not the things of the Spirit. That's what the devil does. He is a tremendous deceiver. He hates you. He hates your marriage. He hates your singleness. He hates your grandparents. He hates babies. Matter of fact, there's not anyone on this earth in any time, in any generation that he likes. He wants to kill people. Every 19 minutes in our nation, every 19 minutes, a person dies from an overdose of pharmaceutical drugs that have been prescribed to them. Every 19 minutes. Think about the world that we're living in. Dear God, there needs to be a resurrection of revival in our land. We're the living God. It's like I said Wednesday night, you know, that where it said when the battle of Jericho was going on, it says the people inside, they were shut up and they were shut in and they were terrified and their hearts were melting. Why? It says because of the children of Israel. And I said this, I said, oh, wish to God that people in our country were trembling because of the church of Jesus Christ, trembling with fear because of us. When we walk down the street, beware of our shadow. It might heal that sick person. Amen. That's what's needed today. And it's what we desire. Oh, God, that is what we so desperately need. I'm thankful that if we are truly in Christ, born again, we have nothing to fear from the evil one. You know what I mean? We've been given authority over him because we are in Christ. He can't touch us. The blood of Jesus rests upon us. The Bible says in 1 John 5:18, we know that whoever is born of God does not sin. In other words, doesn't live an habitual life of lawlessness. But he who has been born of God, a Christian, he keeps himself, and the wicked one touches him not. Now, with all that information, then Jesus does something in verse 23. He says, he who is not with me, if you're not for me, he who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters. What did Jesus just say? He said it's impossible to be neutral about me. You're either for me or you're totally against me. There's not any middle ground. There's not either, well, I think he's okay, or I might choose him. No, or I'm not going to choose him. Well, okay, even if you don't choose him, you're still against him. That's exactly what the Bible teaches us. Now, I want you to listen to me now. And what I say to you, I say in tremendous love. I love each and every one of you. All you who are listening live, I love you as well. You know, verses 24 and following are some of the deepest verses in the Bible. And they're not something to just be, oh, I read it and I got it. No, no, no. This is deeper than I know how to teach. And you're getting ready to be, you're going to start feeling uncomfortable. But again, if you're feeling uncomfortable, know that it's not me making you feel uncomfortable, but it's the Holy Spirit of God that's making you feel uncomfortable. That's because he loves us. He cares for us. And it also, the Holy Spirit is always stretching our faith. He wants us to learn. He's our teacher. Amen. He opens up the Word of God. And it's my prayer that God really opens up this to us right now, and that we don't shut down. We don't start pushing our chair back against our neighbor, you know, or let down our thing like in the airplane, you know, and verses 24 and following, I know that the primary application would be to the nation of Israel, okay? But it's more than just the application to the nation of Israel. It's also to the church, the 21st century church today, right now. And we need to glean this. See, yes, they were rejecting the nation of Israel. They're going to reject their Messiah. They're going to crucify their Messiah. Yes, that's what they're going to do. And the reason, they look good on the outside. They look great on the outside. They were doing everything right on the outside, but they were dead and full of dead men's bones on the inside. They were empty because they needed a relationship with their Messiah. And they refused that. Matter of fact, one scholar writes this, there's never been a group of men more committed to a demanding religious system and moral code than the Pharisees. Remember, the Pharisees were the strictest of the sect. Man, they loved the Word of God. They would die for the Word of God. Matter of fact, when they taught their children, they would take honey and put, when they taught children the Word of God, they would take honey and put honey on the tip of their tongue as they gave them the Word of God and said, taste and see that the Word of God is good. Oh, how pleasant it is. This is the strictest sect. If you saw them, you would say, oh my, these are the most religious people in the world. The Jews believed. Now listen, the Jews believed with all of their heart. If anyone was ever going to go to heaven, it had to be a Pharisee. That's how much they were esteemed and how much they were, how many people followed them. But this one scholar, as I said, he says, oh, the Pharisees, there was never anyone more religious and so forth, but there was never a group of men, a religious system, so far away from God. Now, let's get uncomfortable for a moment. I'm talking about a peace you don't want to have. What would be worse than believing and thinking yourself saved and yet not really be saved? I cannot think of anything worse than that, can you? None. I cannot think of anything worse than that. You remember what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verse 22 and 23? Jesus said, many, many will say to me in that day. What is that day? That's when we stand before Him. Amen? That in that day, once we stand before Him, listen to me, loved one, it's too late. It's too late. Now is the only time we have. Jesus said, many, many will say unto me in that day, the day of judgment. They will say unto me, oh, Lord, 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 did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not cast devils out in your name? Did we not do many wonderful works in your name? And Jesus will say unto them, depart from me, ye doers of lawlessness, you doers of iniquity, for I never knew you. I never had a relationship with you. Now listen to me. If you read Matthew chapter 7, verse 22 and 23, you need to understand something. Jesus did not condemn them for preaching in His name. Jesus did not condemn them for the mighty works they did in His name. Jesus said, you didn't do the will of God. I never knew you. I never had a living relationship with you. Oh, I know your name. I know the date of, I know everything about you. But no, there was never any union. That you were never born from above. Religion is not enough. It has to be the new birth. We have to be born from above. Look at verse 24 now. It says, when an unclean spirit, now we know that an unclean spirit is an impure, vile, tormenting spirit, okay? When it goes out of a man, in other words, his house now is all cleaned up, like Jesus, the person who was mute, he's no longer mute, the devil is gone, the demon's gone, rather. Well, it says, when it goes out of a man, look what this demon does. Well, he goes through dry places. And look what he wants. He wants rest. He's seeking everywhere to find rest, but he doesn't find it. So what does this demon say? He says, the devil, the demon, I will return to what? My house, from which I came. Now, we've covered this many times at Calvary. We know that a demon has no rest apart from a human host. That's what they want. That's what they desire. And the reason they desire that is they want to always do the wickedness through them. They want to manifest their personalities through them. They want to use them. They want to inhabit them. They want them people to suffer. That's why demons call people, can you believe it? My house. That's scary. My house. They look at humans as their possessions. Do you remember earlier the word, the talking about the devil? It says his goods. What were his goods? People. People. They look at people. You belong to me. The demon would say, my God, the prince of peace, I mean the prince of evil, you know, he's the ruler of this world system. Oh, we have principalities and powers, rulers of darkness everywhere, over nations and people and governments. Oh, look at all the people we control. This is his goods. They're my possession. That's what a devil, the demons would say. But those are some horrible words when he says, I will return. And look what it says in verse 25. And when he comes, when the demon comes, he finds it. He finds the house. He finds the person. What? Swept. In other words, cleaned up. He's going to return to a clean house and put in order. Matthew's gospel says he finds the house or the person empty. Now listen carefully. Here comes the demon. He just walks right in. He must know the alarm code. I don't know. Goes right in. You know what? And he finds the house. It's all swept. It's all cleaned up. You know, he opens up the refrigerator and he goes, what? We don't have any more chicken wings? You know, where's the Miller High Life, man? I mean, where's the party? Everything is cleaned up. Where's the computer? We used to look at all that trash on there. Where is it at? Where are the drugs, man? What's happened to you since I've been gone? Well, I cleaned up my life. Yeah, I got all cleaned up. See, I said, I don't want to do those things anymore. That's not transformation. That's not the new birth. Do you understand me? No, not at all. No, listen, mankind, God did not create mankind to be empty, but inhabited, but only inhabited by the precious Son of the living God. Christ in me, the hope of glory. Amen. Oh, that's what it's all about. See, in other words, to get your life right. Well, listen, I changed a few things and, you know, I'm doing better now. And I got this cleaned up and that cleaned up. And, you know, I just feel better about myself. That's transformation. That's not transformation. That's not regeneration. You have to be born from above. But I went to this program and it helped me. Praise God for programs. But you still need Jesus in your heart. What's the 12 step? Praise God for the 12 step. Whatever it is, I don't care. If it'll help you, praise the Lord. But you have to have Jesus in your heart. There's nothing greater than that, folks. Nothing greater. See, it's not enough just to have a clean house. Got my life straightened out finally. Mom, Dad, everybody's happy now. No, you have to have the right tenant living in the house, and his name is Jesus. Amen. A man must be born again or he cannot see the kingdom of God, Jesus said in John 3:3. No, and look what happened here. Then he goes, and this demon, look what he does. He's going to take set with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself. Does that mean that demons have different levels of wickedness? I don't know. I just know they're all wicked. And seven means complete control, all right? So seven demons, more wicked than himself. And look what they do. They enter. The door's open. They dwell there. They live there. They settle down because Christ is not there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. Why? Because he's only cleaned up. You know, when I was a kid, I got in so much trouble. I didn't want to get in trouble, but I got in so much trouble. And, you know, when my sister rescued me, there I was, 14 years of age, downtown Fort Worth, in jail, getting ready to be sent to reform school, folks. Listen to me. Had no one. My mother didn't. She was dead. My dad didn't care for me. I had nothing, living on the streets and all that. I'd done so many horrible things. And when my sister took me in, she cleaned me up. I didn't smoke cigarettes anymore. I didn't rob banks. You know what I'm talking about. Only 7-Elevens. And I changed. You see, but it wasn't regeneration. It was moral reform. I had new clothes. I looked really good. Well, I thought I did. New shoes, new clothes. I mean, I was going to school full time. I had meals, all everything. I was playing football. I mean, all great things I wanted. I mean, it was just excelling everywhere. But I was dead. I was doing great as far as she thought and as far as everybody else thought. But I was no different than a pig. You know what? You can put a paint, you know, get, you know, those little pigs that you see today, you know, you take them home with you. I forget what they're called. What are they called? What? Potbelly pigs. You paint their little toenails. You put a bow in their hair. You can brush their teeth. And if they get out of your sight and they see a mud hole, where are they going? Because they're a pig. They have not been born again. Do you understand? Well, that was me. You see, I'm looking, I say, oh no, listen, all I've done, my life was just swept. It was my life had just been cleaned up, but that's all. Nothing else happened. Now, I want you to look back and listen very carefully. It's time to get uncomfortable. Now, look at verse 21 with me. Look back there. When a strong man, that's the devil, we know that. Jesus just told us, fully armed, guards his own palace. The palace is the world, remember? His goods. What are his goods? People. They are in what? Say that with me. Peace. Do you believe that? Did you just hear what the Word of God said? He's talking about people that don't know Jesus, but maybe they think they know Jesus, and they are in perfect peace. That word there, peace, I looked and I said, surely, Lord, no, that can't be in there. This word peace, arena. It literally means the state of peace, the state of tranquility. You see, what's going on with them? Well, they made some changes. I felt great about my life. Hey, I'm wearing new clothes. I'm getting a haircut every week or every month. You know, I'm brushing my teeth. I'm going to the dentist. I have food. I'm playing ball. People like me. I'm going, this is the greatest thing in the world. But I was only cleaned up. Do you understand? I was only swept out. I was only cleaned up in my life. And you know what? I had peace. I was so thankful. I said, I've made it and all of those things. And you know, that's what happens when people start cleaning up their lives. They go, oh, I feel better. And you know, a few changes have taken place, but here's the problem. And they have this peace. I'm at peace. The whole world is being rocked into the devil's peace, but it's a lying peace. It is a false peace. Now listen to me. These are people here that don't know the Lord. These are people who are at peace. Listen to me now. Without Christ in their hearts. Did you hear me? We don't want that kind of peace. They're at peace without Christ in their hearts. Oh, dear God, they're spiritually dead and they don't know that they're spiritually dead. They go through all the activities of life, but they don't possess spiritual life. They're dead in trespasses and sins. Now listen carefully. There are many in the church today. We're in the Bible Belt, folks. Everybody thinks they're saved in Texas. You know that. Come on. You go knock on doors. I'm saved. When were you in church? Like 20 years ago, but I was married there. I even have the Bible. Look at that. Well, we've got to get the dust off of it, but no, listen. I look at the church today and you know I'm right and God's right, and listen to me carefully. See, maybe you're here this morning. Let me talk to the young people first. Oh, Bill, don't pick on the teens. Yeah, I'm going to. Are you here because you love Jesus Christ? Are you here because you have the peace of Christ in your heart? Are you here because you're making mommy and daddy happy? Is that why you're here? But the truth is that you're all swept up. You look good. You come to church. You have Christian friends. You have a Bible. Listen to Christian music. Maybe go to the Harvest Crusade. Even watch a little Christian TV. Maybe open your Bible once in a while. Maybe have a little prayer time, 5 minutes a month. And then, but when you're out there, there's no Jesus at all. And yet you have a peace. You don't want that kind of peace. Because that kind of peace will damn you. That kind of peace will send you to hell. The only peace we want is the peace of Christ. Amen. Oh, listen to me now. You know, you can say, well, Bill, I started cleaning up my act. You know, I started going to church and so forth. And, you know, I feel pretty good. I'm even hanging around Christians. And, hey, it's really pretty cool. And bought myself a Bible. And I even open it once in a while. And I'm even praying at Luby's over the food. I mean, you know, I'm going, that's wonderful. But what if you've just only cleaned up your outside? I'm leaving those old friends, but you're not leaving them for the right reason. See, it's so easy to just say, well, you know, now I've been in church all my life. I've grown up in church. I'm definitely a Christian. Well, listen, you can park your car in my garage, and I promise you, it's not going to come out of Cadillac. You understand? It doesn't work that way. Now, you know, I hear people all the time, they say, Bill, I'm born again. I say, praise the Lord. Isn't it amazing? Now listen, isn't it amazing that we trust God with the most precious possession that can ever be, and that is eternal life. We trust, if the Lord Jesus is my Lord, and we trust him. We say, Lord, I know I'm saved. We trust him. And yet, why is it that there's so many people, I'm making you feel uncomfortable. It's not me, it's the Lord. Okay. So many people in the church, they say, well, I trust God with my salvation, but that's it. I can't trust him with my problems. I can't trust him with my addictions. I can't trust him with my marriage. I certainly can't trust him, you know, with my money, because I'm not giving to the Lord. I'm going to ask you a question. What kind of faith is that? That we trust God with our very soul, but nothing else. There's something wrong with that kind of faith. Would you agree with me? Absolutely. Listen to me now. The devil, here's what I've learned. The devil, the demons, the darkness, they are counterfeiters. They're counterfeiters. That's what they do, and that's what they excel in. See, sometimes the power of darkness doesn't come to you as an enemy. It comes to you and pretends to be a friend. Do you understand that? The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 11:14, it says, for Satan transforms himself. The word transform means disguises or masquerades. He comes, it says, for he transforms himself into an angel of light. What a description for the wicked, the most wicked entity in all of the universe. Listen, the devil and his demons are a master of disguise. Whenever the devil showed up for the first time on our planet in the garden, what did he show? It was like a Halloween thing, okay? What did he show up as?
A snake.
I mean, do you think that's really what the devil looks like? Did I spit on you? Good. Man. Well, you see, when I start preaching, I just, whoa, you know what I mean? Merry heart doeth good like a medicine. That's why I don't want to make you so uncomfortable here. No, was he 100% successful in the garden? Yes. He shows up at things all the time. This will help you. Take this. Do this. Be with him. Be with her. See that job. See that money. See that position. They show up as a friend. Because they're deceivers, because they're counterfeiters, they're liars and deceivers. And you know what? The devil, he and the demons will transform themselves into anything to deceive you. Anything. Anything to hurt you, anything to harm you, anything to destroy your life. It says in 2 Thessalonians 2:9, the coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, all power, signs, lying wonders. Listen carefully. And with all unrighteous deception. Unrighteous deception. It's like somebody told me after the service, she said, to be deceived means you don't know you're deceived. And I said, that's right. With all unrighteous deception among those who perish. And here's why. Because they did not receive, they did not welcome the love of the truth that they might be saved. Now listen carefully. Why would someone be a church attender or a church member and yet never be saved, but think themselves saved? What if the greatest deception that Satan is able to pull off is deceiving a person into thinking that they are saved when they are only reformed? You say, Bill, that is an impossibility. It can never happen. That was the condition of the Pharisees when Jesus the Messiah showed up, folks. Listen to me. They would have died over the Word of God. But they were empty because they only had religion. They did not have Jesus in their life. They didn't even trust the living God at all. Let me ask you another question. What if the powers of darkness, these counterfeiters, if you will, what if these unclean spirits, what if their desire is to produce a counterfeit work of the Holy Spirit? In other words, where the person believes, you know what? That natural love is actually agape love. No. Do you see the deception there? There are so many mean Christians. Aren't you glad you came this morning? There are mean Christians. They can't even spell the word love. You understand? They're great at spelling the word hate, but not love. I have a problem with that, man. I have a problem when we can't forgive one another. I have a problem when we can't love one another as Christ loved the church. I have a problem when we won't obey him because love never fails. And I look and I say, oh God. See, Satan doesn't care if you walk in natural love. Oh, you just love people. You're so good and so forth. Okay, well, how about the agape of God? See, listen to me. The Pharisees had natural love. They were the most religious people of the world. They thought themselves so saved, and yet they rejoiced when Jesus Christ was crucified. That's a scary thought. We live in the Bible Belt. There are a lot of everyone here, you know, you can, like I said a moment ago, you just say, well, we're saved. We've been in church all of our life. But do you serve the Lord? Do you really know him? You know, look what it says here. It says in verse 27, it happened as he spoke these things that a certain woman from the crowd raised her voice and said to Jesus, oh, blessed is the womb that bore you and the breast which nursed you. Speaking of Mary, okay? But he said, more than that. Say that with me. More than that. Okay. More than Mary, the one who bore him. Blessed are those who do two things, who hear the word of God and obey the word of God or keep it. Listen, Mary wasn't blessed. Yes, she was blessed because she was bore Jesus, of course. But that's not why Mary was blessed. It says, blessed art thou among women. Okay. But why was she really blessed? Because Mary told the angel this. She said to him, to Gabriel, let it be unto me according to thy word. Mary believed, and then the Holy Spirit of God overshadowed her. Amen. That's why she is so blessed. Listen, you know, taking sides with Jesus. We live in a church today. Oh, God, help us. Listen, where we say, you know, just if we just say the right things, if we just say the right things, well, that means we're a Christian. No, it doesn't. Listen, do you think just raising your hand in the service, walking down the aisle, that's not what saves a person. That's just the beginning, amen? That's just how you get to the Lord. See, remember again what it says in Matthew 7:21. Not everyone who says unto me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. But him, two things again. But he who does the will of God. He who does the will of God. Listen, saying and doing cannot be separated. If Jesus is your Lord, then he's your Lord. It's not, well, he saved me and now I have fire insurance. That's just not how it works. It says in Hebrews 5:9, and having been perfected, talking about our great high priest, he became the author of eternal salvation. Here it is, to all who obey him. It's more than just saying. Now, I want you to listen to me. A person either has peace with God or peace with the devil. Boy, that's that verse there, 21. They're at peace. You know, listen to me. I say this with such tenderness and such love. If you can go out and you call yourself a Christian, and you can go out and live in sin and live together and do all these kinds of things and so forth, and it not bother you and you're at peace with it, listen to me carefully. That's not the peace of God. That's not the peace of God. You have a bill, we're under grace. Well, grace doesn't give us a license to live contrary to Scripture. Do you understand? We're living in the day to day. Well, I'm saved and God knows, you know, he's working me through it. Of course he does. But I'm asking you this. If you can sin without, just, you're at peace, then I'm telling you, you have a problem. Well, you don't talk to me like that. I'm talking to you like that because I love you. Because I love you. Because I tell you, I don't want anyone to ever go any place but heaven. Amen? We can't play Christian or play church. No, the Bible says in Romans 5:1, therefore, having been justified by faith, that's how it happens. Lord, I believe in you. Come into my heart. Be my Savior. Justified, just as if you didn't sin. Listen to what it says. Then we have peace with God. And then it tells us how. Through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. God makes peace with no one except through his son and no one else. It doesn't work any other way. It only works that way. Jesus is the Lord. And here's what I found out. I cleaned up my life, man. My sister helped me clean it up. You know, successful scholarships from all different places to play ball. All the things that anyone could ever want. Miserable. Searching. Empty. Oh, I look so good on the outside. Had it all together. People say, oh, what confidence, what leadership, all those things. But I was dead and I was empty. And then I met him. And then I knew what peace really was. I'm not at peace when I sin. There's a peace that we don't want. And that's that peace with the devil. You listening to me? That's a peace that you don't want. You don't want that at all. If you're saying, well, I'm right. No. It's either Jesus or the world. There is absolutely no other way. You see, the peace that God gives us, it came at a great cost. Jesus had to die. And you know what it says in Ephesians 2:11, that Jesus, he himself, he is our peace. See, a lot of people think peace is obtaining this and that. I didn't know when I was younger that peace, you know, I tried to obtain all that and I would have peace for just a little bit. Then my peace was gone. But you know what? When I found out that peace wasn't making a lot of money, when I found out that peace wasn't having the biggest home on the block, when I found that peace wasn't having this and that or this type of education or not this, you understand? When I found out that peace wasn't a thing, that peace was a person, then my life changed. Jesus is our peace. Jesus said in John 14:27, now listen now, here's just what we want. He said, my peace I give unto thee, not as the world gives. Did you catch that? The world gives. What is that? That's the peace of the devil. That's the peace where he puts people, his goods, people in his arms, and he starts rocking them back and forth. Say, oh, it's such a peaceful ride, isn't it? Look, it's going to be okay. You deserve that. You deserve this. It's okay to live with her and okay to be, how many women you want to be with men? Go ahead. It's okay. Live any way you want. You're at peace. And I'm just rocking you in peace. Jesus said, I don't give peace like that. I don't give peace like the world. I am the Prince of Peace, he said. And there's no other way. Do you have peace with God? Or do you have peace with the devil? Do you have peace that the world gives? Has it lulled you to sleep? Is it destroying your life and you don't even know it? There's only one person that has the power and the authority to free us from hell, sin, death, and the devil. His name is Jesus Christ. He said, I am the way, not a way. Jesus said, I am the way. I am the life. Amen. No one, say that with me, no one, no one comes to the Father. No one gains access to God the Father. No one goes to heaven except by me. Father, we thank you this morning as our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Lord God, I speak to every person in this chapel and those that are listening live right now. As our heads are bowed and no one looking around, I'm asking you a question. I pray everyone is praying right now. And listen, if you are here this morning and you call yourself a Christian, but yet, whether you're a teenager or a young one, all the way to the oldest, it doesn't matter. And you call yourself a Christian, yet you can go out and live in sin. Hide it from your parents, hide it from your friends, whatever it might be. And you have peace about doing that. You're in trouble. You're in trouble. I love you, but you're in trouble. And if that's you, as our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, would you do something, please? Lift your hand and say, Bill, that's me. God bless you. That's right. Bill, that's me. And just lift it and say, that's me. I don't want to. I have a false peace. I have a peace of the devil. I didn't know it was the peace of the devil. I'm in trouble. Anyone else, just lift your hand and put it right back down. God bless you. God bless you. That's right. People just getting your hearts right. You're coming. God bless you back there. I see that. That's right. Oh, God, you're just moving among your people right now. Those that lifted their hands, I want you to pray this prayer with me right now. You that are listening live, if you could answer that same question, you pray this prayer with me. Say, Father, I'm a sinner. I've been living in the world as a Christian with a false peace. I don't want to live that way anymore. I want the peace of Christ living in my heart. So right now, I confess with my mouth, Jesus is Lord. And that you raised him from the dead. You promised if I would pray that prayer, you would save me. Then save me now. Jesus, be my Lord. And it's in his name we pray. Now, Father, I thank you for the people that are present. I thank you, Lord. I know that this message made so many uncomfortable, unsure. Lord, there's nothing better than a checkup. There's nothing better than a heart checkup. There's nothing better than knowing we belong to you. Oh, God, we don't want to have a false peace. We don't want to have a lying peace. We don't want to have a counterfeit work of the love of God. We want the real thing, oh, God. We want to be the real people. And Lord, those that lifted their hands, those that prayed that prayer, those that prayed it live, and those that prayed it in this chapel, God, I thank you. Just save them, wash them, cleanse them, and fill them with the Holy Spirit of God. Now, we love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name. And the church says, amen.